Welcome to another episode of Board Gaming with English. This is our second to last episode of season four. We're really excited for our season to come to an end because we have a very special announcement in the next episode. So in order to celebrate that announcement, we're giving away a game called Werewords. Now, how can you win the game? Well, you can enter our contest by going to our Facebook post for this episode. So you can go to the Facebook post for this episode. There will be a Google form link you can click on, and then you will need to add the secret word. The secret word will be at the end of this episode. All right, so if you want to enter the contest, go to our Facebook page, find the Facebook post for this episode. There will be a link in the show notes directly to the Facebook post. Now you can also enter the contest two more times for each episode. So you can also like the Facebook post and comment on the Facebook post. That will earn you two more entries into the contest. So you can do this for episodes 30, 31, this episode 32, and our last episode, episode 33. So we do have a really special announcement at the end of this season in our next episode. We have a very special episode next week, but this week is very special as well. We have a professional development preview. So I've been putting together the video for our professional development that we hosted this summer. And we are putting that together and adding it to a course. So this course will be free to access and you can learn about how you can use board games in your class and some resources for using those games. Now, if you want to add on a certificate to prove that you are a participant in this 2-hour professional development online, you can do that through our website as well. Now, the course is free, but if you want the certificate, there will be a paid option for that. So today's episode is a preview to the professional development. So I am still finishing the videos, and you can actually access this preview on our professional development course page. There will be a link to that in the show notes and on our blog post. So the professional development will just have a preview of what we talk about today in the podcast. But if you go on there, you can check out the slides and also sign up for our email list so you know when the professional development is updated and when we are finished adding all the videos onto our course. All right, so let's get into the preview of the professional development in today's episode.
Board Gaming with English. This is Board Gaming with English.
Teacher's Edition.
How exciting!
All right, now let's get to the good stuff. As an English language learner, this is an important question that we need to consider and answer. How can board games help us learn language? Well, most board games include language. The amount of language or input of language and output of language on a board game or a particular board game can obviously vary greatly. For example, you have the game Uno. If you're familiar with the game Uno, you know that you could play the game without any language until you have one card. And in the game, you are required to say Uno. So in this game, there are different cards that maybe reverse the playing order or skip other players, and you're just laying down numbers and colors. So in this game, you can really play the game without any language at all. So there's not any input or output with the game except for Uno, because all of the numbers are symbolic, the colors are symbolic, the skip action is symbolic, the reverse action, these are all symbols. But then you can go to the extreme end where there is a lot of language required to play the game, like role-playing games. With these games, listening comprehension is very important and your ability to express and communicate your ideas clearly. So we can see there are both extremes. Now, as language teachers, this is a luxury for us because we can adapt these games. We can adjust them to meet our learner needs. For example, in Uno, if you're teaching younger students, you can ask students to say the name of the color. You can also ask them to form a complete sentence each turn to lay down their card. Another example, with Noah's Ark, Don't Rock the Boat, this is a game I have used before. Basically, you're putting animals on a boat and you don't want the boat to lose its balance or all the animals will fall off the boat. So you can ask students to say a sentence, and before you play the game, you preview the animal vocabulary, and you preview some adjectives to describe the animals. Then you ask the students, before they can place their animal, they need to say a sentence about an animal. Then they can place their animal on the board. In the actual game, they just draw a card and place the animal. But as a language teacher, we can adapt this game to meet our learner needs and learning outcomes. So we're going to explore a couple different aspects of how board games help us learn language. We're going to look at input and output again. We're also going to look at specific language and systems within board games and games that help us with specific grammar structures. Look over how we can adapt thematic or content-specific vocabulary. Look at why external and internal motivation can help engage learners, and show how some games really help with conversation practice in general. So let's look at input and output. Well, when we evaluate the language of a board game even further, we can look at the input and output of language specifically required for various games. So some games may require mostly output. This is conversation to accomplish a goal within the game. I use the example Spyfall. We're asking and answering questions in that game. There's no input other than reading your location and reading your role. So a lot of cooperative and role-playing games are like this, when you're working together as a team. There's another game called Pandemic. This is a game where you're required to stop a virus from spreading across the globe. Now, you really need to communicate with your team well to stop this from happening. So this requires a lot of conversation, a lot of output, and some input when listening. Now we can look at the input. This is reading and listening. So there are some games that require a lot of input of reading cards and understanding text, understanding rules. So this is really important when we look at something like a card game. So some card games, you need to really understand how the card works, how it interacts in the game. To do this, you need to understand the text, and you need to understand the grammar structures on the text. You also need to understand the role a period and a comma plays. We know that a comma indicates a pause, and on a card text, the comma will show us that we need to pause, complete this action, then we can do the next action. If it's a period, we know these actions are separate. So this is really great for understanding writing structure and helping improve students' writing ability and understanding different essays and analyzing writing. So we can see there are different inputs like card text, listening to other players, rule books, understanding grammar and sentence structure. While output is talking to others, there are some writing in games. Maybe a role-playing game might require some writing. Other games like Balderdash require some writing. This is where in this game, you will receive a word, and the game asks you to write a definition of the word. You're supposed to make up a definition of the word. So this is some writing. Some output also with speaking and communicating your ideas clearly. Now let's look at specific language systems within games. So there are specific grammar structures in place in games, like, for example, the game Go Fish. In Go Fish, you ask the question, do you have a 7? And then the other player might answer, no, go fish. So this is a very simple grammar structure. Other games have different grammar structures and more complex grammar structures built in the game. One game I have played in my class and I use pretty often is Werewolf. So this is a way you can have students learn how to form an opinion. You can teach them the grammar structure and vocabulary to express opinions. An example, I think he's the werewolf because you can also add a model adverb. So I am certain, I am for sure, I am 100% sure he is the werewolf because. So again, this is the grammar structure built in the game. You can say something like I believe or I think or I'm not sure because. So this is a good way to help students form an opinion. We'll look at some data from this game I've played in my class in the next module. Now let's look at thematic and content-specific vocabulary. So you can cater games towards thematic or content-specific vocabulary. So you can use vocabulary you are currently studying. There's one game called Werewords. In Werewords, it's like 20 questions where one student has the word and the other students have to guess what the word is by asking questions to narrow down the answer. It's very much like the game 20 Questions, but in Werewords, there's someone that does not want the group to guess the question. That is the werewolf. So there's a bad team and a good team in this game. So you can use vocabulary you're currently studying in class, or you can use
all the vocabulary you studied all semester. You can also look at professional or technical vocabulary with some games. Some games are thematic based on medicine or thematic based on biology. So if you have students that require a technical language in biology because they are studying biology in another class in English, this is a great way to help them with learning terms, and it includes the engagement of the game. You can also help students understand larger concepts, like concepts of culture. I've used this game in my class called Telestrations. In this game, you write down a word and you pass it to the next player. The next player draws this word and passes it to the next player. That player will then write a word or words for what the drawing is. In my class, I used it to go over different business customs in different countries. So we previewed some customs, and then I gave students the opportunity to play the game, and they could write down the first business custom they think of, and then they give it to the next player. This is a really great exercise for peer learning as well, because then one of the students might have received a custom they were not familiar with. They did not know the vocabulary about the custom, so they had to look at and see what this vocabulary word is. They learn from their peers, and then they draw and add it to the next. The next student will then receive the drawing. All right, and then we have external and internal motivation. So again, this is from Rolf Koster. He says, fun is all about our brains feeling good. There are many ways we find fun in games, but learning is the one I believe to be the most important. Fun from games arises out of mastery. It arises out of comprehension. It is the act of solving puzzles that makes games fun. In other words, with games, learning is the drug. So we have extrinsic motivation and intrinsic motivation in games. We have the feedback from victory, or feedback built within the game. This is some extrinsic motivation, where intrinsic motivation comes from just the pleasure of solving puzzles, comprehending the game, understanding how the game works. Pleasure also with working with others. And next up, we have conversation practice. So this is awesome for our language learners. Some higher level students can engage in extended amounts of conversation practice. You can have simpler or more structured games with conversation practice for lower level learners. So when playing games that require constant communication, it is essential for students and players to be able to participate in the game through interaction and language. A lot of cooperative games, like the one I mentioned before, Pandemic, is like this. There's another game called Dixit. In this game, every player will receive a card. And on that card, there are very crazy, detailed, abstract pictures. The goal of the game is to try to get people to guess your picture. But there's a catch. You don't want everyone to guess. If everyone guesses, you don't get points. So whoever's turn it is, they will play a card. But before they play that card, they have to say a word, phrase, or tell a story about the card. Now, as language teachers, we can adapt this game and require them to tell a story. That's a requirement of the rules of the game. They tell a story about their card, play their card down. And then all the other players need to guess which card is his. Now, you get points for guessing the correct card. You don't get points for guessing the wrong card. But as the one telling the story, you get points for all of the players who guess your card. But if everyone guesses your card, you get 0 points. Another game is called Snake Oil. In this game, you have two different words and you put them together. And you need to sell these words to a customer. So for example, you might have oily banana. You need to sell that to a teacher. How would you sell this product to a teacher? You need to convince or persuade them to purchase the product. Then there's a game called Bonanza. This is a very basic negotiation game. You're trading beans with other players. You say, do you want my red bean for 2 of your coffee beans? And you try to persuade the other player. Now, you can keep this very simple by very basic grammar. Do you want 1 red bean for 2 coffee beans? You can use that grammar structure, or with more advanced students, they have the ability to offer more persuasive language. So let's recap from here. Why should English language educators use board games in class? Well, we saw from the first bit of data that the students are more willing to learn English with games. There's also an extrinsic and intrinsic motivation within games. There's grokking to accelerate mastery, and also you receive some feedback within games. And we also talked about the ability to practice conversation and the manic or content-specific vocabulary and specific grammar structures.
So that's it for a preview of the professional development. Again, if you want to be updated when we release the full course or as we update the professional development, be sure to go to our blog post for this and sign up for our email list, and we will let you know with an email as soon as it is updated. Thank you for listening in this week. Again, if you are interested in winning the game Werewords, you can learn about the game in our episode number 11, where we talk about Werewords as a learner edition, and we talk about how it's a great game in the classroom, go over some grammar structures and vocabulary for the game as well, and how to play the game. We talk about that also. So if you want to win the game, you can enter our contest by going to our Facebook post for this episode, and you will fill out a Google form. On the Google form, it'll ask for your name, email, and the secret word. And our secret word for this episode is professional. So the episode is about the professional development, so our secret word again is professional. So if you would like to enter the contest, find our Facebook post for this episode. You can also find it for episode 30 and 31. You can enter the contest a total of 12 times. So you get one entry into the contest for each Google form. You also get an additional entry for each like on our Facebook post for the episode and each comment on our Facebook post for the episode. So be sure to find the post for each episode, episode 30, 31, 32, and next week, our last episode, episode 33. As always, we love to hear from you. You can find us at email dnr@boardgamingwithenglish.com. You can also find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. All right, we'll see you next week with our special episode of season 4.